Executive compensation has become one of the most contentious topics in corporate America. Why do some CEOs make hundreds of millions while their companies struggle? How can boards ensure they're paying fairly for performance? Drawing from an unprecedented database of over 44,000 executive compensation cases spanning decades, Robin Farrakhan's Fair Pay, Fair Play offers a groundbreaking framework for determining appropriate executive pay. The book has influenced governance policies at major corporations, including Apple, Microsoft, and Goldman Sachs, providing a data-driven middle ground between unchecked executive packages and heavy-handed regulation. At its heart lies a simple but powerful idea. Compensation should align with performance in a way that's fair to both executives and shareholders. Executive compensation reflects the relationship between shareholders, owners, and executives, agents. Shareholder value serves as the most comprehensive indicator of executive performance, with total shareholder return, stock price appreciation, plus reinvested dividends, functioning as the ultimate scorecard. Boards are clearly representing the interests of shareholders, and the interests of shareholders is to maximize the value of their investment, explains Rajiv Gupta, former CEO of Rohm & Haas. The supposed conflict between shareholder and stakeholder value misunderstands the issue. The real concern is time horizon. Long-term shareholder value requires building sustainable customer relationships, maintaining an excellent employment brand, and fostering community goodwill. Companies like Costco and Johnson & Johnson show how stakeholder engagement drives shareholder returns. While TSR works best as a long-term indicator, leading companies now combine it with metrics like relative industry performance, employee engagement, customer satisfaction, and environmental impact, recognizing that sustainable value creation requires excellence across multiple dimensions. When discussing executive compensation, we must distinguish between target pay and actual earnings based on performance. Performance-adjusted compensation, PAC, measures annualized total compensation after accounting for performance over three-year rolling periods. People find it unfair when executives earn substantial sums despite poor performance. As Raj Gupta notes, when it appears that enormous sums are paid out for a low level of performance, that really hits people the wrong way. Conversely, underpaying for strong performance risks losing talented executives. Executive compensation has become increasingly risk-based, with variable pay growing from 60% of PAC in the mid-1990s to approximately 70% more recently. This shift was partly driven by tax code changes, eliminating deductibility of non-performance-based compensation above $1 million. Companies responded by increasing incentive-based pay, inadvertently driving total compensation higher as executives received premiums for assuming additional risk. The long-term incentive mix has evolved from predominantly stock options to a more balanced distribution between options, restricted stock, and performance shares, encouraging more sustained performance. While most companies claim to align executive pay with performance, they rarely define what performance means, what timeframes matter, or how conflicts are resolved. The alignment zone represents the acceptable range of PAC, pay, for a given TSR, performance level. Outside this zone lies the alignment no zone, the upper no zone, high pay despite low performance, and the lower no zone, high performance despite low executive pay. Market analysis shows only a 49% correlation between PAC and performance, adjusting for size and industry, with about 60% of companies falling outside the alignment zone. Industries display distinct patterns. Healthcare companies show steeper pay performance curves than materials companies, reflecting their economic differences. A perfect correlation between pay and performance isn't realistic or desirable. Each executive and company has unique value based on capabilities and business needs. Companies should differentiate their pay programs just as they differentiate their business strategies. The alignment model helps companies analyze their historical pay practices and project future outcomes while providing investors a framework for evaluating pay programs. Roughly twice as many companies show poor alignment between pay and performance as show good alignment. Several common misalignment patterns emerge. Compensation flatliners deliver similar pack regardless of TSR performance, often from excessive tinkering with pay plans. When executives receive the same reward for stellar or mediocre results, incentives for excellence vanish. Compensation risk seekers have pay highly sensitive to performance, moving above and below the alignment zone with results. Think tech startups, where executives might make millions or nothing based on outcomes. Compensation doglegs resemble risk seekers during good performance, but occupy the upper end zone when performance is poor. They override risk-oriented programs during tough times by granting off-plan equity or reverse engineering bonuses. Heads I win, tails you lose. Compensation high flyers maintain pack above the alignment zone across virtually all performance levels, typically from above-market pay policies, overzealous equity grants, or inadvertently layered programs. Alignment reports consistently provoke strong reactions from stakeholders. This questioning process is the point. They provide quick insight into whether total pay outcomes reasonably match shareholder performance outcomes over time. Understanding fair pay, the alignment standard, is only half the equation. Fair play, the process, is equally critical. Five fundamental pay design forces can destroy alignment, plus two decision-making forces that amplify their effects. A culture of misalignment disregards the concept of a fair deal, creating alternative standards that deviate from normal accountability. This shift often begins with small compromises that compound over time, like exceptions for stars or adjusting metrics to ensure bonuses despite missed targets. AIG exemplifies this problem. Under CEO Hank Greenberg, 1968 to 2005, AIG grew with an entrepreneurial culture of generous bonuses and stock options. While initially performance-aligned, by the early 2000s, Greenberg received maximum bonuses despite negative three-year TSR performance. Particularly problematic were off-the-books incentive plans through private entities controlled by executives. The 2008 collapse revealed how deeply misaligned incentives had become embedded in AIG's culture. Most misalignment causes are subtle. Peer groups that consistently place the company in the upper quartile, performance metrics that exclude significant costs or risks, short-term incentives overshadowing long-term value creation, and compensation committees relying too heavily on external consultants without independent analysis. The author advocates for convergence, not one-size-fits-all solutions, but general agreement on fair outcome ranges. This requires developing common language around alignment for investors, committees, and management, especially with say-on-pay requirements. Alignment reports provide efficiency for overworked compensation committees by creating a roadmap of compensation patterns. While compensation remains a messy business with human factors, these reports help make defensible, fair decisions. With alignment research providing breakthrough data, stakeholders can converge on appropriate standards that pay differentially based on company size, industry sector, and performance rather than continuing an upward arms race. The alignment model balances power between shareholders, boards, and executives, establishing a reliable standard. Progress has been made in aligning executive pay with performance, but we're not there yet. Through voluntary reform and adoption of tools like the alignment model, we can create a more transparent compensation system that rewards value creation rather than mere position, the essence of capitalism. Companies implementing this principle can build systems that are both fair to executives and accountable to shareholders.